just first injury update. Davies will throw a sim game tomorrow, 2 and 40. Just start his buildup and start his progression. See how he feels from that point forward, and then just keep moving along. And so I know you guys want to know what the next thing will be after that. I don't have any information on that. We got to get him through that 40 pitches, 35, 40 pitches tomorrow, and see how he feels. But all indications are that he's feeling very, very good. Nothing.
Oh, I got
something. Oh, okay.
Rotation change or flip-flop this morning?
No, it wasn't. I just think there might have been some misleading information that was out there. We had Merrill throwing the whole time, so that was probably my mistake. I might have given these guys some bad information over the weekend, but it was going to be Merrill the whole time. He threw his bullpen on the day he's supposed to, knowing that it was going to be today. So that one was on me.
Any concern about facing a team
minimal. He goes out there, makes adjustments, reads hitters, attack zones, attack spaces and spots. I think he'll be just fine. There's always a risk, but I think he works through that and manages that as good as anybody.
I asked Mike Clevenger that question. Mm-hmm. Because he faced you guys, you know, second time coming.
Yeah.
And he said he felt that in a lot of ways it's actually an advantage for the pitcher because he knows the hitter's weakness and what they're looking to try to hit.
Yeah.
And it helps him understand better how to attack them.
Yeah.
Is that like kind of upending conventional wisdom on this bit?
Yeah, I think it all varies. And you gotta find a way to make an adjustment to what you see, read and react. You're going to follow a game plan. It's going to be based on what information the hitters have been giving you over the past several at-bats. Hitters are going to be very traditional, and they're going to stick to their strengths. And if a hitter is good enough to make some adjustments, it's up to us to read and react and make some changes to the game plan. I think what I enjoy most about our group, our starters, is that they stick to the game plan pretty well. Some go rogue at times, and that's all because of them reading and reacting to what the hitter's giving them at that time. Hitters are smart. Hitters are very smart. They're going to make some adjustments. It's up to us to stay in tune with what those adjustments are.
It seems like offensively you guys, I don't know how long, maybe this month, a few weeks now, been better. Anything stand out to you? Just
yeah, I think we have an all-field approach. I think we're balancing our urgency. You know, sometimes young hitters will walk up there, any hitter can walk up there and just try to get something done and make something happen every at bat. And we got to get them into that level of just being able to go out and compete and stand on their process and their foundation. And I think there's been a really good balance there. I mean, sometimes we were trying to create urgency, but I think there are times that we got to find the sweet spot. It's been an all-field approach. It's been letting the pitcher kind of take on that urgency, hunt mistakes, and go out and execute. We've been doing a really good job of that.
Is that what that's about, that shirt you got on?
Yeah, it has something to do with hunting the right things and hunting the right area. Yeah.
Is it specifically meant
I don't. Yeah, I don't know, to tell you the truth. This was just it showed up on my chair one day, and I just liked the color, so I threw it on. Yeah.
You know, we talk about the situational hitting, and I've been trained to kind of be careful with splits and situational stats because of sample size, right?
But, right.
I took your risk numbers and broke it out with two outs and before two outs.
Right.
And I was just interested, before two outs, your run in scoring position batting average is .262.
Right.
But it's a two-out risk where it just gets killed, 186, 29 in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like it's a big breakout between before two outs, runners are out there.
Yeah.
They got a good approach, and it's kind of looks and feels like with two outs, I don't know, they just lose the approach. You're talking about the urgency.
Yeah, yeah. These are all good baseball conversations that we're constantly having inside of our space. You know, hitting with runner scoring position has always been the biggest challenge for an offensive player. And it's when the stakes are at their greatest, we want guys to be able to walk up there confident and comfortable and understand what their goal is, understand what the pitcher's trying to do, and then make some adjustments, but believing in the process and the foundation that you believe in. We tell our guys to be good hitters throughout the entire at-bat, no matter if there's runners on base or no matter if there's nobody on base. it sometimes can be a little bit frustrating. You know, I know I walked in here yesterday a little bit frustrated by what happened in the eighth inning. But I'm just looking for good hard contact, looking for guys to follow the plan, not go out of the zone and chase, and to, you know, to hunt and look for the pitch that they want to line up. Now, whether it's one out, two outs, or no outs, one out, or two outs, I really don't think much should change. You might just change your dial and your compass as to where your approach is aiming. That's going to give you the best idea to see pitches and make a good decision on balls or strikes. That, to me, is the bottom line when it comes to hit with runners in scoring position. Am I seeing the ball? Am I watching and tracking where it's going to land? And am I able to get my hands on it and get some extension? That's the bottom line for me. I was not aware of the two outs. I didn't know that it was that poor. You know, whether it's above or below league average, based on how you shaped it, it sounds like it might be below league average or well below league average. And I don't base it on league average because I think we have good hitters and I want us to be well above league average. But those are things we'll talk about. We'll keep getting after it. Hitting with runners in scoring position can be very challenging. We just got to relax and expect to get the job done.
Yesterday, you went with Kennedy the 7th,
made him
play the 8th. Is that the plan going forward?
I'm trying to just match up, I guess, the best way I can for the lineups. I've expressed to both those guys that, you know, if you're a back-end guy, it could be a wall of hitters in the 7th. It could be a wall of hitters in the 8th. And they're both good with that. I just like the way it's shaped up and the matchups for Kennedy in the 7th yesterday. I mean, you had a big guy sitting there that was a second hitter. You know, it was going to be impossible to avoid Soto. I just, you know, did a lot of research and had some conversations and felt like we could attack a spot. And it worked. It worked. It worked well for Soto. But I just like the way it bunched up for the 7th for Kennedy and the 8th from Lanson. No, I don't think so. I think I did it against the Dodgers early in the year. So they've both been aware of that. That's a conversation I had in spring training.
What have you seen from Christian defensively over the last few years, but especially this season, that's made him so effective?
Yeah, I mean, he's steadily improved every single year. I see somebody that's working extremely hard in pregame and never takes days off on that side of the ball. If we've got the ability to take ground balls, he is the first one out, one of the first ones out there, and working at a full, at a very crisp pace. So he practices fast, and I think that translates into success in the games. He's having a terrific year defensively, but it's not a surprise to me. He's worked his butt off to get there.
With the trade that might come up, do you ever feel the need to say anything to guys about staying focused or individually? How is that?
Yeah, I've had brief conversations with a couple guys just to make sure that their head's in the right spot, and it's hard. It's a little bit of a challenge, and I know that it's going to create opportunities for others to move on and get into the right place to go chase a world championship. You know, I know it's coming up, and I want to believe we're going to be buyers more than sellers. That's how I have to train myself. But yeah, I've had brief conversations with guys, just refocusing, re-engaging, and making sure that they're in the right spot. And they assure me that they are, and I can tell they are. They're in a good place.
Do you feel like the way that deadlines have unfolded? I guess I'm thinking of like 2019, when certain guys thought they were going to go and didn't end up getting traded. Like, is that instructive in any way when you talk to those guys? I feel like everybody thought Robbie and maybe Archie. I forget. I think Robbie. Everybody.
In 19, yeah, I can't remember. I don't know. I can barely remember what happened yesterday. I could maybe go and use something that will, you know, replay a little bit of the history of the time, that timing of the year. But I'm gonna strike with what I believe in. You know, I'm gonna strike with some of the facts that I know right now that are happening. Baseball is a crazy game. What happened a couple years ago may not have anything to do with what's going to happen right now. I'm sure it's all based on needs and the interest level of certain teams with certain players. And if it lands on us, you know, it's going to be helpful to those guys to get into the right situation and win a world championship. That's what we all play for.
Or did Merrill's last start doing it, right? You guys needed something.
Mm-hmm.
You were spending a big list of performance just to stabilize the first side you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, it was after a couple of tough losses. He seems to stabilize us every fifth day. The ship could be rocking a little bit, but he goes out and blocks everything out and executes a great game plan. He's been extremely consistent. I think we have a couple stoppers in our starting rotation that have the ability to do that. You know, I'm looking for Merrill every fifth day. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure his teammates are too.
David, DH today, McCarthy left.
Yeah, just to give David a little blow and get him off of his feet. He's not a DH. He's playing a great left field. I just, you know, want to give Jake a chance to get out there and be athletic and make plays. And I've DH'd him, and I don't think he's just a straight DH. So I might pop these guys every now and then, like I am with David, and give him a day off, focus on hitting for the day, and then get back after it on defense the next day. So, yeah, I don't want you guys to read into that. It's just getting David off his feet and giving Jake a chance to get out there.
May we see more of that now that Cattell is back in more of a second baseman role?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I'm going to have to – if I need to DH somebody like Jake every day to get him in the lineup, I will. But, yeah, you'll probably see it happen with Dalton and Wright and then maybe Alec. I don't know. You know, I'll piece together based on our pitchers and based on the needs of putting a really good defensive center fielder in center field and just play around with that type of stuff. I'm going to look a little bit deeper than just giving a guy a day off. Yeah, good question. Great question. Probably Jordan Luplo would probably give us he's our backup first baseman right now. He does well in the infield. So we're gonna look to see what he could do there, and we're gonna maybe migrate some of our other infielders over there as well. Buddy, we've been talking about that. Buddy Alcantara, but we feel like we're covered there when needed.
Going back to Jake real quick, it seems like the cover off the ball in Reno. He was having an outstanding year down there when you guys sent him down. What are you looking for him from him just the rest of the day?
Yeah, a lot of what he did yesterday. You know, he gets up there and he has a very, very capable at bat by staying on a pitch on the outer half of the plate, not trying to do too much. And I think when young hitters come up, they have the mindset they got to go five for four to play the next day, and that's not the case here. Go up there and control the zone, have a good at bat, and move on to the next at bat. In the next day, and he's done a great job. Every time we send him down in to Reno, it's frustrating for him. He feels like he's starting to arrive, and he's getting that thought process that he can come here and compete, and he shows us that he can. So to block that out and go down to Reno and eliminate the black noise and hammer the baseball the way he has speaks volumes about who he is. And when he comes up here, he does a really nice job. I don't want much to change. I want the approach to stay the same. I want the mindset to stay the same. And every conversation I have leads me to think that he's in a good spot.
He kind of got wiped out by Corbin. It didn't seem to faze him at all for the rest of the weekend.
Jake. Yeah. He's in a good spot. He's very intense when it comes to his belief that he can go out there and get the job done. He had a tough time with Patrick Slider. There's no doubt about it. And it's one of those things. It doesn't linger. He came out the next time, the next moment where he had an opportunity to go out and make some noise. He did a good job. Those are the little things that I'm looking for when it comes to young players being able to separate things from day to day. Yeah.
Speaking of Corbin's, is Corbin Martin
going to
start to hear again?
We haven't entered that arena yet. Well, I'll get you guys that information as soon as possible. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, Roy.
It's not the long streak for Nick. It's been a while since he got a good question
from you. I've been waiting for you.